This mortal coil. Now, for much of Australia, winter has descended, bringing the dark and the cold with it. Last week marked the winter solstice, the shortest day and the longest night of the year. For most of us, it's a time to retreat, to rug up and cuddle in. But for a growing number of Australian families, it's a terrible time of uncertainty. As the cost of living spirals, homelessness is on the rise. Caravan parks and camping grounds are reporting huge waiting lists as holidaymakers compete with locals for rental homes. Even people with jobs are finding it near impossible to secure affordable housing where they live. This is the changing face of homelessness. Young families, white-collar workers caught in the housing crisis. It's a story all too familiar for my guest, nightlife regular Reverend John Owen, pastor and CEO of the Wayside Chapel in Sydney's King's Cross, who has seen a year like no other. John, welcome back. It's great to have you right across from me in the studio for a change.
Really am missing the final planes landing through the inner west, interrupting the conversation, but it is lovely to be back in studio tonight. Ah, there it is. Thanks, Dave.
Wanted to make you feel at home there, John. Oh, dear. Look, it has been a particularly tough year for all of us. It included the lockdown. We're just approaching the one-year anniversary of the lockdown here in Sydney that affected the Wayside Chapel in King's Cross. That happened quite suddenly, and all your business, all the Wayside's business, is about opening your doors, opening your arms, people coming, supporting, being physically present. And then, of course, in lockdown, that completely changed within a few hours. So tell me what that time was like. How do you remember it?
Oh, wow. That was the circuit breaker lockdown.
Yeah.
That was only meant to last 2 weeks, that, you know, went for about 3 or 4 months, if I recall rightly. Uh-huh. And we had just been in the process of reopening. And so we were ready, we'd reconfigured, we'd just gone on a big bit of a drive to get the volunteers back in and teams back into our centres, and things were really beginning to roll again. And then the news came through that we're just going to do a quick 2 week break of a lockdown, and then that soon emerged that it was going to be a much longer time. And so we went out to the highways and to the byways again. You know, that was something that obviously had happened a few years back. But when I was thinking back, when I was thinking through what was it like, and it was still a time of great uncertainty.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were still at a point where not everyone had received their vaccinations. And it was, you know, that moment where we were thinking, what's next? And, you know, there was no logical reason that anyone could come up with to kind of be out there on the streets. But we weren't driven by logic. We were driven by relationships with other people that really demanded that we choose courage over fear. We had a bit of a motto in-house, you know, which was how to create connection without infection. And so
yeah,
we deployed 2/3 of our people from our centres back onto the streets to do outreach with backpacks, just reaching out to people, also getting into our vans and visiting, because we've over the years built relationships with so many people who are living in public housing, or many working class people who are making ends meet. But then, you know, the lockdown and the uncertainty of the job market and retrenchments and curtailing of shifts was really having a big impact on, which sadly we're seeing again now.
Yeah. Courage is the word. The fact that it was an environment where we weren't vaccinated, we didn't really know which variety or variant of the virus was spreading around at the time. Your outreach workers went out and made these connections with vulnerable people. The other interesting thing that happened at the time, John, was we've been told by successive governments that we can't house our homeless. But what we found because of this health crisis is that all the rough sleepers were helped off the street. They were put into temporary accommodation and hostels. How was that for you to watch that happen, that when there is a will, there is a way?
It was one of those amazing moments. And I think there was about, I think we could say with our hands on our hearts, there were about one or two nights where not a single person slept rough on the streets of Sydney through that time. So in one of the darkest moments that we will collectively experience in human history, we had some of the brightest stars that shone through that moment. It is amazing what can happen when we have a unity of purpose. And, you know, I think we've seen through once and for all the line that we don't have the resources. What we do lack is the will. And when the will arrived, we were able to achieve amazing things. And we saw collaboration and cooperation across all sectors, you know, not-for-profits, charities, community groups, governments, all just bandied together to make this happen. And it was right before our eyes. We were thinking, how amazing is this? This is unprecedented and unheard of, all those things we were hearing about the pandemic, but we saw the impact in a positive way of an unprecedented, unanticipated benefit to people who were, you know, shivering on our streets.
Mm. And the Wayside Chapel is, you know, still a organisation that needs to run. It needs to generate funds and to support all these programs. What happened during that time when your volunteers couldn't help you? I mean, people had to stay away and had to be locked at home. The corporate sector, which is engaged in a number of programs with the Wayside and supporters, they couldn't physically be there and carry on their work. That must have been a difficult time for you, not really knowing the future of your own organisation to help these vulnerable people.
It was such a difficult time. You know, many of our volunteers were in some of the categories where they had health vulnerabilities. Some of them, many of our volunteers are quite young. But we do have a significant proportion of our regulars who are in retirement. So they were a bit afraid. And, you know, I think the Webster's word for the year should have been pivot. You know, how do we do these? We always thought that we shouldn't worry about where the funds would come from. We said, let's just back our mission. And our board was courageous when we stood up and together we said, if it takes us to spend every cent in our coffers to get out there to people where we're needed the most through this time, then let's do it. And so we were out there, and we also felt like, you know, we would lose our social mandate for operations if we just shut our doors through the most difficult time for our people. So we just went out there, and people just backed us. You know, the generosity that flowed, the sense of camaraderie, the sense that we're all in this together and we will make it through only if we can bandy together. Our volunteers, you know, were helping us, making phone calls to people and checking in on them. We still had our centre-based operations, but they were very curtailed. So there were a few shifts available, but they were like hen's teeth for people. So we had to tell some volleys, please don't book into all the shifts. Just let's share it around a little bit. But people, you know, that when people have discovered their purpose, it is
addictive.
It's amazing to watch. But then, you know, you're fielding these calls like, I can't book in on the portal for a shift. And so I love that passion. And so, and our corporates just backed us all the way. And through difficult times, some of them paid some of their corporate visiting days forward. And we're now getting them back into our centres, which is wonderful to have them. But, you know, we were just so overwhelmed with the generosity of people all across Australia.
Yeah, so a year on since those very difficult times, it's difficult times again. We've hit winter, and we know that winter is always a difficult time for organisations like the Wayside Chapel. We have people sleeping rough, even more people since the pandemic because of job losses and dislocation. And we're finding with increasing lack of social housing, just regular housing, as I mentioned before, big problems with homelessness in areas we hadn't seen before. The changing face of homelessness we're experiencing now. What are you seeing?
It is the tip of the iceberg that things are beginning to emerge. So over the last couple of years, some of those stresses and strains, particularly on our collective mental health, is really beginning to take its toll. Now with the recent hikes in electricity and power, people who were previously just getting by are now beginning to fall into really desperate categories, and people are moving in together. We've heard the news reports about the way that caravan parks are now being in competition for between residents and holidayers, and we've already seen the long-term effects that some of the Airbnb stuff has on people who are trying to get housing and get rentals. A lot of single mums who are trying to escape family violence or begin a life again just can't access the rental market. So a lot of people are in precarious positions, and so we do see the beginnings of people seeking out centres like Wayside. They will hold off for as long as possible, but then, you know, when it becomes a bit desperate, when their third couch hop or when the kids just can no longer deal with the uncertainty, that's when they come in and seek a bit of support and help. And often, we say people often walk into our places on the worst day of their lives, and we see that to be so true. And so, you know, we do our best to meet them with open arms and to match their courage, because we're still not quite used to in this country asking for help. You know, we it takes a lot of courage, and we match that courage with the compassion and care that we always continue to extend and offer to people.
Mm. You're listening to Nightlife with Indira Naidoo, and John Owen from the Wayside Chapel is with me. We're talking about how to find the light in these dark times. And as you mentioned, it's biting hard, these rising costs of living for many people in the community, but it's so much harder when you don't have that roof over your head. And we're not seeing sufficient policy changes coming into the system fast enough to address these concerns. So it is a time when the community needs to pull together and support each other.
You know, right now we're seeing more and more studies emerge around the health impacts of loneliness. You know, they say loneliness is the new smoking. And we've all experienced loneliness to a certain degree through this pandemic. Mm. And also a lack of finding our purpose through this time. And we're seeing the long-term health impacts. We are seeing new faces every day, but we're meeting them with a sense of urgency, because some of those compound health impacts around loneliness and disconnection are really starting to show themselves. Also, many of our rough sleepers have ignored health conditions through the pandemic. So over the last little while, as well as partnering with some other health services, we've developed a few of our own. And it's really this kind of new approach to relational-based healthcare, saying, you know, we live in the Sydney CBD, which has some of the best, most world-class facilities by, you know, any standard. And yet we still have some really serious closing the gap statistics are just as alive in our cities as they are in rural areas as well. So how do we get people to feel more safe and more comfortable to be able to address some of the impacts that are on their health? So not just the pandemic, but also we see this flu virus that's coming through that's really deadly and is already hitting weakened immune systems. And on top of that, we're seeing people had gone to a GP to check that little lump and bump over the last 2 years. And so often people will go into the hospital, you know, under duress, and then will not emerge. You know, I've begun to do funerals again in the last few weeks, and sadly we're doing so many. And because, you know, we've said, oh, look, I won't bother the health system because they're so overloaded right now. Mm. And it just compounds over that time. And so, you know, we're flat out at the moment. The teams are, you know, doing an amazing job, and our volunteers are just stepping up right in the centre.
And at the moment, it's, you know, that time of year where your winter appeal is held, and we know that a lot of people are struggling anyway financially. So how do you think that the impact of the pandemic has shown us all the importance, I guess, of that togetherness and that community? And in a way, we're tighter and closer because of that shared experience we went through. And so even when people are doing it tough, they still want to help.
You know, Aussies, we're this weird kind of mix where we throw these lines out about being relaxed and laid back, but we're actually the most suspicious people in the world, right? We have suspicion over curiosity, and suspicion reigns supreme. And it's only in moments like not silly things, like all of a sudden if there's a car accident, all of a sudden our curiosity overrides our suspicion. Mm. You know, someone moves in down the street, you've got about a week to knock on their door before you're a weirdo. And one of the things the pandemic was place our curiosity for the first time above our suspicion in a sustained way. And I say that in a good way, is we've taken notes on ourselves and we've realized that we need to get out there. We need each other, not just for seeing people and to be social, but for our own survival. And so we're seeing people coming into our centres, volunteers are coming back, or, you know, in droves, and people are wanting to do things, and people are still nervous. I think everyone, as we walk through our local communities, realises, and particularly through some of the extreme weather events we've had, and let's spare a thought for people who still haven't had their houses rebuilt through the floods.
Yeah.
You know, they're staying in demountables, in tents, and that's from the fires, let alone the recent floods that we've had. And those impacts are still there as they're cowering. You know, they'll be shivering out in these cold nights. And so people are realising, I want to get involved. We want to get involved in our own patch. And so when you have more and more places, you know, what I love about Wayside is we say, we're going to take that opportunity cost away and just say, come in and you can serve for 2 or 3 hours at the front door, at the front desk, just handing out undies or mm-hmm. folding towels. And that's the kind of thing we're seeing more and more people becoming interested in doing. You know, it's not just about taking care of me and my own. You know, I think we are slowly rediscovering what it means to work for the common good.
Mm. Well, that's a good thing if that's come out of the pandemic. I was actually back at the Wayside a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't been able to spend as much time there in the last few years because of the pandemic. And we were on the rooftop doing a bit of filming, and I met some of the new Wayside visitors that I hadn't engaged with before. And it reminded me, as an ambassador there, what I love about that space, the fact that being the being togetherness, which is so special about that, especially that rooftop space where we don't have a lot of social spaces to gather and be together in our cities, do we? And that garden is really special because of that. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're from, what socioeconomic background, there's a space, this beautiful garden that we can all work and create and build relationships through as well.
And it has a wavelength. And what I love about our gardener, John, there is instead of just jumping into the activity and instead of just filling it with words and noise and activity, the first thing he will always do is to run a group exercise around meditation and breathing. So as much as possible, everyone involved in that space can just attune themselves to the wavelength of what's happening in that space. And it's a very healing space. And then all of a sudden, the words move beyond the simple "how are you, what's happening" to a sense of depth and importance and connection. It's such a beautiful space, and I feel like I've cheapened it just by using words there. It's something that you have to go and be a part of to really know the power.
Yeah, it's sacred, that garden. Really beautiful, John. Thank you. You know, it's a difficult job that you have on so many levels, but it, you know, just to make sure that the place is running so the people who need the help can keep on getting the help. I mean, that never goes away when you're the CEO of this sort of organisation, does it?
No, and it's a real privilege though. And I say there's no safer place to be than in the centre of where you're meant to be, you know, in this world. And so, you know, yes, it's a busy time, and yes, you're running here and there and in hospitals, you're doing weddings, you're doing christenings, all of a sudden you're in a budget meeting as we do. I think we've got to do a recut of the budget or something. You know, it's hilarious. I was never prepared for these things, but you know, you always know it's not for us, it's always for others. And you know, you see some, it gives that kind of sense of focus and purpose to life that I think we all really need right now.
Yeah.
Is, you know, to rediscover our why.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the best opportunity we've ever had collectively to do that and as a nation.
And also to know how we can help, because sometimes you don't know how you can help, do you?
I think that think global but act local is going to be more important than we realise over the next few months. And, you know, I'm excited to see the new things that can emerge.
Okay. So tell us about the winter appeal. How can listeners help?
please, you know, this is that cold winter time. And, you know, I often sometimes would flippantly say, you know, help us keep the lights on and the heaters running. That's actually quite a significant thing right
now. Yeah.
You know, as we do that, you know, today the doors were closed and it was all warmed up and, you know, people were defrosting after another cold night and it's beautiful. So, but also our urgent health needs, you know, we're really wanting to get these more and more access for people to see doctors, the GP there, and to get the right treatment that they can. And we're building a women's space there for women fleeing domestic violence, because in our centres, what we find is many women will present there with the perpetrator. So how do we create a new space there? That so we've got a couple of hairdressers that are going to come in, and so we can separate the people, so we can just do a little health check. And often it's hairdressers that are the first people that can pick up some of the signs of family violence. But so all that winter appeal will go towards us helping set up those spaces and to continue running our programs and to continue to help people connect and to help move them towards a life without loneliness, which is something we all need.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Heart Cafe, your cafe in the Bondi area, that I popped in there the other day, that was packed and doing a great business.
Unbelievable the impact that's having, not only on the local community, but the lives of the young people who are up to half of the staff during the weekdays there, who have, you know, some of them have experienced homelessness themselves. And they're put on a path where they're just loved and mentored and slowly put into the workforce. And you know what? They amaze me. I always say, if you can cut it in retail, you can cut it anywhere.
Yeah, that's a wonderful cafe. It does great coffee, so it's a great one to
get down there. It's great latte, and they've got a hot porridge at the moment that was just the perfect thing to start the day with this morning.
Yeah, fabulous. John, thank you so much for coming in and having a chat.
It's always a pleasure, and good evening all to the listeners too.
Reverend John Owen, who is the pastor and the CEO of the Wayside Chapel, joining us for this Mortal Coil, as he does every month or so, just updating us on what an extraordinary time. We know it's obviously been for a lot of us, but can you imagine the really, really vulnerable people in our community and how organisations like the Wayside Chapel have been helping getting them through, but they need as much support as they can. So please go to the Wayside Chapel's winter appeal, donate.waysidechapel.org.au, and support a wonderful organisation.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.